Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're meeting with the Vice President of Franchise Development for L.A. Sunset Tan, Mark Kickenup. And L.A. Sunset Tan is redefining the Bronze Age by introducing the world to the most luxurious and innovative tanning concept ever experienced. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio. Our first segment is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get insight tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, March 6th. How's your day going, my friend?
Going fine, Marty. How are you? How are things
good,
going?
Good. Still getting off a high, I think, from last week's interview with Michael Gerber.
Yeah, they don't get much better than that.
I guess not, you know. It was a fantastic experience, you know. Any thoughts on last week's show? Where do we begin?
Well, I mean, you know, my thoughts are when you hang up, and it seems like I'm back in college, and he's like the professor.
Sure.
And he's, I mean, it's just incredible the stuff he's done. And what's even more incredible is, you know, some of the new stuff he's coming out with. The book, what's that, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how he can just take any entrepreneur and, you know, really, you know, take him to a whole other level, I guess, is what the goal is of and is what the in the dreaming room is all about.
Right.
He told some great stories, just a great interview. I can talk to him for like 5 hours straight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you compared him to, like, a wise grandfather, you know? It's
right.
I don't know if he'd like that too much, but, you know, I mean, here he is hitting 70 years old, you know, and I think he's just, it's almost like he's just beginning his life all over again, you know? I mean, you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice as he's talking about this whole concept in the dreaming room in his new book, which is, you know, I mentioned to you, and I know you have it as well, the manuscript,
right,
which is just fantastic, you know? I mean, I pretty much read right through it.
Yeah, I mean, any business owner, entrepreneur, whatever, I mean, it's definitely must reading.
Absolutely. You know, the Dreaming Room, just a couple things to go over, Don, you know, is if you missed last week's show, it's a kind of like a blank piece of paper in the beginner's mind. It's a chance, as Michael said, to really create something incredible. And he used the word carpe diem. You know, he spoke a little bit about the great movie Dead Poets Society, you know, a chance to really seize the day. And the way the Dreaming Room works is it's actually like a 2.5 day. It's not a conference or a seminar, you know. It's this just chance to really create something incredible and spectacular, you know. So,
right. Well, what's his purpose? To transform the lives of ordinary people by providing them with the thrill of creation while creating the means to generate their own and others' economic freedom.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a pretty big purpose, yeah.
And he really said anyone can attend this event. You know, I think you asked him a great question, you know.
Right.
Who should, you know, come to something like this? And he really said anyone, you know.
Right.
You know, it's just very, very motivational, inspirational. If you missed the interview, you know, go back and listen to it on the archives. And, again, Michael just wrote a new book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Create Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them. And what Michael was talking about, Don, was he had two entrepreneurial awakenings in his lifetime. First time when he wrote the book The E-Myth, and he was telling that great story, and he refers to it in his new book, a story with this guy Arnie, where he was kind of going someplace with his friend who was a business consultant, and he leaves Michael alone with this other guy, and you know, the guy says, well, how can you help me? And Michael's like, well, I can't. I don't know anything about business.
Right.
And they just started talking with each other, you know, and after that one-hour conversation, Michael felt, I guess, invigorated, and
right.
He had this awakening, you know, and he had it again at 70 years old when he had that conversation with his mom, you know, and here he is 71 now, actually.
Right.
And his 95-year-old mother inspires him to say, you know what, you had all this success with the E-Myth, you know, why don't you go out and do it again? You
right.
Know? And he says, why don't I?
Right.
Here he is, you know, so I'm hoping that he's coming to like the Philadelphia area, where I can actually, you know, for the first time, get to meet him. You know, because I've been following him for such a long time now. And it was interesting because when we first started the radio show, I was interviewed by the Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal, and the woman asked me, she said, you know, who would you like to interview the most? And I said, Michael Gerber. And
right.
You and I have interviewed him twice so far on the radio show, you know.
Right.
So it's just been such an incredible experience to speak to someone like that, you know. And, again, we'll have to have him back next year, you know,
definitely,
on the show and just keep following what he's doing. But
because we'll always learn something new every time we have him on.
Oh, absolutely. I've listened to the show several times over, you know, since we've had him because, you know, it just went by so fast for me.
Right.
You know, so.
As you know, I don't like listening to past shows.
No, you don't.
I don't like hearing myself, but that's what I'm going
to
listen
to. Yeah, you have to listen to that one.
Yeah, that one's a must.
One of our finer moments, you know, so absolutely. So it was great. But I know we have, what do we have going on today? I know there's some things going on over the next month or so.
Yeah, well, today we're meeting with the VP of Franchise Development for L.A. Sunset Tan Franchise, Mark Kickenhap.
Which is another, you know, this is a big show. I mean, Mark has been involved in franchising a very long time. I've had the opportunity of speaking to him on several occasions, and I think he's been involved in franchising over 25 years now, Don. And
right.
This is an exciting show as well. I mean, my wife was such a big fan of this show, L.A. Sunset Tan. I didn't realize in my research, I mean, this was the number one show on the E! Channel.
Right.
And I think they had something like over 30 million viewers to
right.
the show. I mean, that's more than our radio show.
Yeah. A few more, yeah.
You know, so it's pretty big. I mean, so I'm sure Mark is excited about this, you know, whole point of his life as well, you know, working with these guys. And
right.
So it should be interesting. So I'm looking forward to getting to speak to Mark about that.
Yeah, excited to hear all about that. And as usual, we got a bunch of stuff lined up in the coming months. And about a month from now, we got the big franchise show down in Washington, D.C., the IFE.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? I mean, it's just
yeah.
I think we saw some of the lists as far as, like, who's going to be down there, you know. And,
right.
again, for our listeners listening to the show, I mean, it's a wonderful event. You know, if you are considering looking to buy a franchise, go down to the show in Washington, D.C. It's just a wonderful experience. And that usually, what's the runs done, like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Right, 3 days.
It's a 3-day event. So you're on your feet a long time, aren't you, that 3 days?
By Sunday, I really
I can would
rather
imagine.
Maybe be hitting the road by then, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be down there the one day. I think
yeah.
I'll be down there on that Saturday morning, you know. And, again, you know, I feel the same way. By the end of the day, I'm just exhausted, you know.
Right.
It's just walking around. And you don't get to speak to everyone you'd like to speak to. I mean, there's over, 300 exhibitors at these shows?
Right, including 200? Suppliers, at least a couple of hundred, of course, franchises.
Right, absolutely.
And across the board, all industries, a lot of variety, low investment, high, and everything in between.
Absolutely. You know, and again, I always say, I've said it a dozen times, you know, don't eat breakfast that day. You know, you could just go there and there's going to be so much food. You know,
I'm almost positive LA Sunset Tan's going to be there too.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. You know, I'd love to, you know, meet those guys in person, you know. And I think Nancy, was a nice woman that we had on the show. That wrote the book for Franchise Times.
Yeah, Julie Bennett.
That's right, Julie Bennett. Guy,
her middle name's Nancy.
Is it? Oh, it is, okay.
I don't
as a guide to selecting, buying, and owning a franchise, and I'm actually looking at the book right now on my bookshelf. But
yeah, I met her at the IFA Orlando show a few weeks back. Very nice woman.
Oh, did you meet her? Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, spoke to her a little bit because we already had her on the show at that point.
Right, right.
So we talked about a few things.
Oh, good. That's
yeah.
great. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting her and getting her to sign that book for me, you know, so that should be fantastic. I think she's doing a presentation down there as well. And there's a lot of these, like, free seminars and things like
right.
that, so.
Yeah, nice. I mean, you know, besides seeing some of the franchises, just a good source of getting information.
Absolutely.
A lot of different magazines and publications and
just walking in the beginning, you know, when you get all that literature. I mean, it just
right.
You know, typically when I go down there, I'll take the train, you know, and I'll read it on the way back, you know. I mean, there's just so much information in there, so
right,
just a great time. Here's an interesting article, Don. It's called Shake It Up: How to Embrace Change, and it's from Small Business Online, and it's written by Matt McClellan. And website address is sbnonline.com. And this is about the CEO of Rita's and his advice. And I'd like to have those guys on the show eventually as well. They're from this part of the country where I am. In
right in your area, yeah.
They are, you know, so they're pretty close. I'd love to have them on the show. It says, Jim Rudolph doesn't just want to solve problems, he wants to fix them. The chairman and CEO of Rita's Water Ice Franchising Company, LLC, says the difference between simply solving a problem and really fixing it can be the difference between a successful business and an unsuccessful one. And he gives a great example. He says, for instance, if a restaurant serves you a bad meal, then picks up the check, it solved the problem. However, the next guest may get a bad meal too, so because the problem hasn't been fixed. You know, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's probably happened to all of us. You know, we've been to a restaurant and we got a bad meal and, you know, they pick up the check. But you know what? Yes, it may happen again. So, you know, and these things happen even though a franchise is a system. You know, these things do happen, you know, so you do have to know how to handle the situation. You want to be able to be a problem solver as well.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, it says, Rudolph developed this philosophy during his years as a franchisee when beginning in 1976. His family developed and operated, listen to this, 47 Wendy's stores in the greater Pittsburgh area. And that experience helped him lead Rita's, an Italian ice chain, to exponential growth. And today, Rita's has more than 470 locations. They're in 15 states and revenue of more than $240 million. They're really big out here. I suspect they're pretty big where you are in Jersey, too, not being that far away.
Yeah, very popular. Yeah.
You know, but my wife is just such a big fan of Rita's. You know, she's just always wanting to go there, and the place is always packed.
Right.
It says, smart business spoke with Rudolph about why he wants his employees to be like turtles. He says, be a risk taker. When you think of a turtle, you think of an animal that moves slow. That's true. But we have another understanding of the turtle. In our opinion, a turtle is an animal that takes a risk. Every time they stick their head out, they're taking a risk. He also mentions to challenge your employees. You have to make your employees feel like they're part of the whole experience. Today, particularly, people want to be given a reason for why they do what they do. You know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, it can't just be about money, you know,
right,
to do a job. You know, you want to inspire and motivate your staff. It says, get the facts, then sell the concept. I have a tremendous commitment to people. He actually learned this, he says, from Dave Thomas early on. He used to tell us, you're not in the hamburger business, you're in the people business. And that's absolutely the key, and I say that every single day. People are the most important asset, and without them, we're not going to make it. So you need to think, what do I really need to do to help my people? You know, so it's, you know, the article goes on. It talks about embracing change and things
right,
like that, and you know, but these things, even though a franchise is a system, it does occur. You know, I mean, where you still have to be able to motivate your employees and inspire them to do an exceptional job. You know, so
right,
very
like
important.
Real practical advice, keeping things simple.
Sure, absolutely. Makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was a great article, you know, to kind of that kind of caught my attention. And I know you had some interesting ones as well.
Yeah, we like to always quote information from Fran Data. Here's something, I guess, dated about a month ago. Franchise development challenges in 2008. Against the background of greater economic uncertainty in 2008, will franchise development become more difficult? It says here, in a word, yes. To be clear, the franchise business model is alive, well, and growing. This decade's accelerating growth in units and expansion of companies embracing the franchise business model are a testament to that. However, it appears that more challenging times are awaiting us in 2008. Here's some of the reasons why and suggestions what franchisors can do about it. The first one, Marty, is availability of financing. I know this firsthand from being in the business.
Right.
The franchise community is significantly fueled by the ability and willingness of banks to provide debt capital to franchisees. Most banks still have the ability. However, their willingness in the form of tightened underwriting criteria has changed. In the past 12 months, we have seen significant changes to loan-to-value ratios, collateral requirements, and cash flow coverage ratios. We've seen more of the change in the last three, 4 months, not quite going back a year.
Right, right.
Banks are increasing their due diligence, not just on the franchisee borrowing, but also on the franchisor and franchise system. In face of more adjustments as bank credit departments assess changing risk profile, here's what franchisors should do. And it you know, talks about a couple of things there. But you know, basically, the challenge is financing.
Mm-hmm.
And financing is always important,
right?
In the whole scope of things, just not for the franchisee, but sometimes a franchisor system looking for growth capital and so forth.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
The next one is competitive challenges. In addition to credit challenges, there are a couple of longer term trends that also will be influence franchise development in 2008. Mm. It says more franchise brands are competing for franchisees.
That makes sense. I mean, that's a pretty big one, isn't it? If you
right.
think about it, you know, I mean, there is a limited market of franchisees, you know. I mean, and you're only going to get so many of them. I mean, they're all competing
right.
for prospective franchisees. I mean, when someone says they're looking to buy a franchise, I mean, they'll typically narrow it down, I guess, down to, like, what, five franchises? And
right.
from there, it's, you know, really whoever can either sell them the best on the concept or, you know, whatever they think is the best match, you know, for their personality. So, sure, that makes a lot of sense. I think that's an important one.
Right. Next one is a new post-baby boomer generation of franchisees is emerging.
Mm-hmm.
More and more franchisees are multi-unit operators.
That's right. We've seen that a lot, you know, with a lot of the guests that we've had on the show, you know.
Right. More people are going into franchising with the goal right from the bat to open up three or five locations or signing multi-store deals. We're seeing less of just opening up one franchise unit and that's it.
Right, absolutely. You know, that's kind of a personal thing, I think. You know, I'm always interested in people's opinion on that. You know, we've had mixed opinions on the show about the whole multi-unit versus single-unit kind of strategy. You know, where should you buy a single unit, find out, you know, you mentioned Julie early on, you know, she felt very strongly about that.
Right.
You should just buy that one single unit, find out if you like it, see if it's a match, you know, and if it is, you know, then expand, which I think kind of makes sense.
Right.
But then at the same point, you know, somebody else may take your territory, so.
Right, that's kind of a tough decision.
You have
to make
it is, it's a very big decision. So I understand, you know, both sides of the coin, you know, they both have very good points.
You know, and it goes on, Marty. How does a franchisor stand out in this more crowded and competitive environment? Think beyond just the appeal of the brand and to performance measures like training, system stability, and unit performance that will stand out. It's a good point.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, this applies even more to the incoming franchisee generation. Many boomers are starting to retire. Next up, the Generation X group, who was born between 65 and 80.
Mm-hmm.
That's you.
That's right.
Me and you were in, you know, different.
That's right. We just missed, don't we?
Yeah. I'm baby boomer, born in 63.
There you go.
It is considerably smaller than the boomer group. However, beyond the Generation X group is the Gen Y or what they call millennial group,
right,
which is
yeah.
even larger than the boomer group and just hitting stride in the workforce.
Yeah, and this group is interesting too. We've actually, I don't know if you remember that. I mean, we've had so many shows up to this point. I think this is probably like our 60th or 61st show. We actually had a show. We spoke a little bit about Generation Y. And, in fact, it was with when we had Michael Gerber on the first time because we asked him about it. You know, this group is interesting with technology. They're very comfortable with technology. So Generation Y offers a lot of opportunity.
Right.
You know, to franchisors. Or I think they make, you know, a lot of times they'll make great franchisees. The learning curve may not be as bad, you know, as somebody who's a little older. It takes them a little longer sometimes, I think, to learn things, you know. And when we had Joe Matthews on the show a long time ago, he mentioned that, I remember.
He wrote Street Smart Franchising. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. I think the average age of people owning a franchise is going to be coming down slightly over
right.
the next few years because more and more younger people, you know, are getting into franchising because it's just become so big and so diverse, so many different industries and types of businesses.
We've seen it, too. You know, I mean, even articles that you and I have mentioned, I think it was just several weeks ago we spoke about a younger gentleman, you know,
right.
buying a franchise opportunity now in his young 20s. I mean, that's incredible to me. That
we even talked about some younger people who are starting up a franchise system, becoming a franchisor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Here's something, Marty, from the News Journal out of Wilmington, Delaware. Kids party venue gets off to jumpstart, written by Eric Ruth at Newport. It says here, at first blush, Frank Papillo's new franchise doesn't sound like the most pleasant sort of business to be in. Most of the customers have little money. Some of them are inclined to throw tantrums. Practically none of them have jobs.
Could you imagine?
What type of clientele is that?
Exactly.
And it says here, that's just the way he likes it. The entrepreneurial contractor has a hunch that there's plenty of potential for profit and little kids, especially in an age where parents are constantly seeking ways to keep youngsters safely occupied and off the sofa at Papillo's Pump It Up party venue. They can actually get a little exercise. It says they're slyly disguised as fun as they slide, squirm, and squeeze their way through a series of gargantuan inflated play structures.
Right, right.
For parents, the state's first Pump It Up means another birthday party option. For Papillo, it means a potentially fulfilling new career after spending years hammering away in the local construction business. Even so, going from buildings to the blow-up amusement business did prove to be more complicated than the 42-year-old imagined, especially when he encountered a less-than-cooperative permit process. Tired of fighting county officials, he finally found a refuge in Newport, where things flowed far more smoothly towards today's grand opening. That's one thing the county doesn't rule on, common sense, he says. Pillow is counting on the growing demand for child-friendly entertainment options to sustain his enterprise based on a franchise model with 170-some locations around the country. In recent years, Delaware has gained a growing assortment of child-related businesses, from cooking academies to child spas. Such businesses made up just 3% of U.S. franchises in 2005, but have posted growth of about 36% since 2003, according to the International Franchise Association. Yeah, it says here, going on, with the help of sister Jody Richens, a former marketing executive with MBNA Corp, Papillo determined that the children's party business was the best bet. Pump It Up, the parties are private, all are groups and kept separate, preventing cross-party squabbles and other forms of kiddie chaos.
Yeah, that's something, huh? Well, again, you know, that would be something that's not for everybody, that's for sure, you know?
Right.
You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, if you would enjoy working in that kind of business. I don't know if you and I would be a good match for something like that, but, you know,
right.
But there's a lot of people out there that, yeah.
Well, this talks about the diversification that
sure.
We're just going over, and I'm a little familiar with this franchise from financing a few franchisees in the past, and, yeah, I mean, it's interesting industry, very popular and growing. Anything, you know, related to children's franchise?
Oh, certainly growing, yeah. And you remember when we had, it kind of reminds me of when we had Jungle Quest.
Right.
On the show, you know, is kind of taking advantage of that opportunity, you know. So,
yeah,
it's fantastic. I think it's a great article.
But it's interesting how people have these jobs and then go into a franchise with no type of experience, no prior business ownership, and they become successful.
Oh, absolutely.
And why is that? Because they do their due diligence, choose the franchise they feel will be right for them, possibly get the help of a franchise consultant. They're getting all the training and support and everything, and they're chance for failure with a franchise system is so much lower, and that's why people, you know, finally make that jump into franchising because of all that.
Absolutely. Well, today, Don, we have a great show. We're meeting with the Vice President of Franchise Development for LA Sunset Tan, Mark Kickenup. And as I mentioned earlier, Mark's been involved in franchising, not to date him, for over 25 years now. And LA Sunset Tan Productions has been branding their name for over 5 years, and their reality show, which I mentioned to you that I'm a big fan of and my wife Connie's a big fan of, hit the number one spot on the E! Network with, I believe it was over 30 million viewers. And LA Sunset Tan is redefining the Bronze Age by introducing the world to the most luxurious and innovative tanning concept ever experienced. Hey, Mark, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Let me get out of the tanning bed here. I'm getting tanned this morning.
Oh, there you go. You got a good life, Mark.
There you go. There you go. Even an old guy can be tanned.
There
you
go. Mark, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson of Diamond Financial. I know, Don, you wanted to say hello to Mark.
Yeah, hey, Mark. Appreciate you coming on the show. You know, Marty and I are really starting to become more familiar with your show. I was just down at the IFA show. Orlando got to meet someone from your company, and, you know, we're very excited to have you on today.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to it.
That's fantastic. Well, Mark, we always like to start off asking where you're calling from today. It sounds like you're in the tanning bed, but
well, yeah, I'll clean that up
I know.
A little bit. I'm actually here at in my office here in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, okay, good. That's fantastic. I know you've kind of been all over the United States over the last several months. It sounds like you're back and forth from Jersey to California.
Oh, California, Florida. I've been there twice already, but you know we're starting to expand the brand here across the country, and that means lots of frequent flyer miles, as you can imagine.
That's fantastic.
We've had just such a great reception with it. You know, it's I don't know of many franchises over my actually 28 years now, guys. I was listening for my generation earlier, and
right.
I'm ahead of one of you by about a year there. But,
there you go.
But we've just had such a great reception with it, with the show and all. And you know, I don't know of any franchises I've been involved in or around that has a TV show. So this has been an interesting way to launch a business.
Oh yeah, this is certainly, I guess, a unique situation. You know, Mark, probably as long as you've been in franchising, I guess something like this hasn't really happened before, you know.
Yeah, they only have black and white TV when I started.
There you go.
You know, it's quite a difference now. But you know, it is amazing the power of the television.
Sure, absolutely.
And it really
absolutely
is.
And the show is fantastic, by the way. I mean, I've been a fan. You know, my wife Connie's been a fan. I've been a fan from an entrepreneurial perspective of just watching the show, watching these two guys, you know, launch this business, and it was just. It was just very interesting for me. While my wife Connie liked the stories, you know, just going on. So, just really great. I know you've been involved in franchising for some time, Mark. How did you get involved in franchising?
Well, it's I don't know if you've got enough time on the show here, but you know, a lot of years ago, I went to Indiana University, decided I didn't want to be in the Midwest, and moved out really to Wyoming to purchase my uncle's business. He had a window covering, storm doors, and awnings business. Ended up being the family, I call it like the family nightmare. All the cousins wanted to get into the business, and I said, this isn't going to work. I don't want to go to corporate America. And this is back in, 74, 75, 76. Yeah. And somebody said, well, why don't you be a fireman? And I said, a fireman?
Right.
I says, well, you work 10 days, you've got 20 off, and everybody seems to have started their own business. So I said, bingo, I'll try that. So got into the fire department, had an installation business. We did draperies and carpet and stuff like that. And my number one customer in Casper, Wyoming, which was the only franchise west of the Mississippi, was a decorating den. You guys have probably heard of that before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Been around for, 40 years now. And he was going to sell the business, and I said, my God, you're my top customer. I'll buy the business.
Right.
So my entree into franchising was a home furnishings business with decorating den and being a fireman 10 days a month. And that didn't, you know, you guys are in the finance business, and here I was, a blue-collar kid from Chicago, no money, and I needed a lot. And so I ended up building a home myself, found a lot, got the equity in it, and went to the SBA in 1983, when the interest rates were 18.5%.
Wow.
And purchased my first business by building a house so I'd have equity and an asset to get into it. And
that's fantastic.
Kind of the rest is history. Sold that in Casper after about 5 years, moved to Denver, and kind of launched there. In those days, it was called the Master License Program.
Right.
And built out the kind of the West Forum, and then just kind of moved around from there and really liked helping people get into the business as much as running it.
Right.
And spent some time with Decorating Den, Sir Speedy, a lot of different companies like that. The service brands with Molly Maid helped launch 1-800-DRY-CLEAN and Mr. Handyman there for them. And
yeah, we've had them on the show, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and great people. And you just learn so much and see so much being a consultant in the business. And
absolutely.
One day the phone rang at, you guys may know Lane Fisher from Philly.
Right.
Very big attorney in the franchising business, and his friend Larry Rudolph from L.A. Sunset Tan, who was Britney Spears' ex-manager, right, called him and said, we want a franchise. Who do you know?
Exactly.
And my phone rang, and I ended up out in L.A., and
that's fantastic.
We started putting the building blocks together, you know?
That's terrific. Great story.
So, Mark, you said you're being a fireman. I'm sure fighting fires on the business side was probably just as rough when you first started decorating, Dan. That was probably a pretty tough adjustment taking all that on.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about matching people to the right concept and different things like that, and here you have a fireman that becomes a decorator, right?
Right.
And, you know, I would have, you know, I don't think I'd have passed the profile test today, but, you know, I was a businessman. I hired decorators and managed them and ran the business. But you're right. It, you know, the only thing about the business, it wasn't life and death as my full-time job was at that time.
So you've been in franchising, obviously, a long time. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen over the last 20-plus years, Mark?
Well, I mean, we've got to go to the Internet, right, after Al Gore invented it for us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the shows started going away, and I think some of the biggest changes were is finding the people that wanted to buy a business. I'm sure you've had a few segments on this. Is, you know, once the internet came out and all these things started happening, is how do you make that switch from standing in a booth 30 times a year shaking somebody's hand to, you know, trying to shake hands across the internet electronically?
Right.
And, you know, our group here at Franchise Outsource, which is our consulting company, we've got 15 guys that look like they're 50 or 55 years old, and we like to think that 15 of us have made that transition and learned as well as we can how to communicate and work with people on the internet. But if I look at anything from a retail standpoint or even from the development side of helping people in the business, I think the internet has by far been our biggest change.
That's something.
Yeah,
you know, it makes it can make small companies look big, which can be
sure.
a problem for people looking. You know, it's a lot of window dressing on companies that you got to figure out what is behind those screens and get on a plane and go see people today, I think.
Right. Also, just the amount of franchise consultants out there, it's been a pretty big change. All the different companies, people helping people rather than just being on their own. So you're right, internet a good source of getting that initial information. But then where they go from there, I think the franchise consulting industry has been, you know, pretty big.
Well, it's really amazing. I mean, I don't know, have you guys tried to figure out how many consultant networks are out there now? Is there 25?
Well, our company's provided financing. We're specialists in franchise financing, and we've dealt with, at least about six or seven. I'm sure there's a
right.
bunch more.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm counting some that are, you know, one or two Z's or three or four people. But,
right.
you know, some of these groups have upwards of 300, 350 people. So, you know, I'm looking at 1,000 consultants out there, probably talking to 30,000 people a month, I would guess.
Right.
Absolutely. Have you been surprised about the new types of concepts coming out, Mark? Like when you go to the shows, I'm always fascinated with some of the concepts that are out there. It's quite interesting.
I mean, that's a great point. You know, doing this for 25 years, and, you know, there, as you, some of you know, there was a lot of shows going on out there, and you'd see these concepts. But what the IFA has been bringing in, what, 200 to 300 new members, probably
exactly.
on an average over
right.
the past 5 years?
Right.
You know, and you think, well, how can there be a new concept? Haven't we franchised it all? And, boy, I was in California, and there sat a choo-choo engine. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, it was you know, it was a vehicle, but it was kind of a long train, and they would take that. You were talking about children's parties and things like that earlier.
Right.
And sure enough, this guy drives his train over to somebody's birthday party, and they drive around the neighborhood in
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard about that, but didn't see it, yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, hopefully that's not a train wreck what ready to happen. I couldn't help myself. So
there you go.
Couldn't help myself with that. But, you know, then I walked around the show, and you know, I was very interested to see there was an olive oil franchise. Have you seen that one?
No, no.
Well, you know, kind of like a wine store, except with high-end olive oil.
That's incredible.
Who have we had on, Marty? We've had a rice pudding franchise.
Rice pudding, peanut butter franchise. Yeah, we've had some interesting concepts since starting the show, Mark. I mean, it's just been fascinating. We had Julie Bennett, who wrote the Franchise Times book, Guide to Selecting and Buying a Franchise.
Mm-hmm.
She was telling us about a porta-potty franchise from Spain. I don't know if they were at the show. At the West Coast Expo, but
I didn't see them. But you know, it's
that?
A heck of a business, I guess.
Sure.
You know, if you can franchise hair cutting, you can franchise anything.
I
right?
guess so. It's like she described it as like an upscale porta potty. You know, so I just said, wow, who would ever think of something?
How about
like
something
that?
Like 1-800 got junk, which is pretty well known. But you know,
right.
that type of concept becomes a franchise. You know, really anything, or you know, most could be franchised and be
successful. Well, the one that puts the biggest smile on my face is Poop and Scoop.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
that.
Come on. You know,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
you talk about the new concepts, and you know what? It's a heck of a service when it comes down to it.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, it is. It's a necessity. Great idea.
So how's your experience been like at L.A. Sunset Tan? You've done so much before that started. I imagine it's really been a whirlwind since you got involved with it, Mark.
Well, you know, it really has. You know, about the end of July, beginning of August, I was out there for some meetings and sat down with the boys, talked to them a little bit, and they said, well, I think you're the right guy. So you talk about baptism by fire. Is we're sitting there in our meeting, and they asked me, what do you think about being on the television show? And I says, well, I've done speaking.
Right.
I've made appearances. I'll probably survive. And they said, well, that's good, because they're currently filming in West Hollywood store, and they want to introduce you to the show in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. 20 minutes.
Not 20 minutes.
Oh my God!
This is a true story.
I saw that show, by the way, Mark.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You had to sit through that. But what you had seen was about 40 minutes of shooting for that 5 to 6 minute segment.
That's incredible.
And with 20 minutes notice, we went over there. We drive into the driveway there. They take me out. They're miking me up. I'm signing release forms,
and
the cameras are rolling. I says, "What do you want me to do?"
Right.
And I says, go in there, do a store tour, and work Nick over at the front counter. Let's go.
That's incredible.
And we walked in and really did shoot probably 30 to 40 minutes, and that 5 or 6 minute segment came out. So
That
was a new experience for me,
sure.
And all of a sudden we're talking about franchising on TV.
You
know, the one thing I like to point out about these guys is you've been around franchising long enough that entrepreneurs sometimes don't ask for help until they get in trouble.
Right, true.
And I really think that, I'm fortunate they chose me to package this, but they went to look for a franchise professional to make a franchise out of their business. And I think a lot of franchisors miss that.
Right.
That, okay, we're in the tanning business. We know how to run a franchise. Well, they have realized early that those are two different businesses.
Exactly.
And, I sit here every day and wonder what our next new surprise is going to be. And our biggest surprise here just lately was that the E-Channel themselves have become marketing partners with us in the franchise.
That's fantastic.
Which is just huge because
sure.
Now they benefit every time somebody takes a tan in a bed or somebody purchases a franchise.
Absolutely.
They also, Devin and Jeff, the founders of the company, became executive producers this year.
Oh, really?
Which gives them, more content control.
Right, right.
So we're going to be talking about the franchise here in 08. We start filming March 10th next week. And we will be launching the premiere of Season 2, I believe, on May 25th.
That's great.
Yep. And now, I don't know if you've been paying a lot of attention to it. We've opened another company-owned store with George Maloof in the Palms' new tower.
Yes.
Yep. And we're going to be doing the big grand opening that will be filmed for TV on May 31st there.
And for people listening, it's on the E! Network, and what's the day of the week it's on, Mark?
It'll be on Sunday evenings, depending on your time zone, 7, 8 o'clock in the evening. So.
Right.
Very interesting. But, I just bring that up because every time we turn around, there's just something new going on. I mean,
exactly.
The public relations of this, Fishman does our public relations in the franchise industry, and BWR is a PR firm in the entertainment industry, and these are probably one of the first franchises I haven't had to do a lot of heavy internet advertising or conventional advertising because of the show and the amount of press this gets.
Oh,
very different lead.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unique like we've been speaking about. Yeah, I mean, and that, I guess that saves a lot to the bottom line because, very expensive, all that marketing and advertising. Doing the trade shows, our company exhibits at all the shows as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Devin said in an interview, Mark, I guess he was saying that they were getting like franchise requests in over a dozen languages, which I said, that's incredible. I mean,
yeah,
it makes sense, though. I mean, with, 30 million viewers, the number one show, it's you must be on the phone all day.
Well, I'm on the phone with several other people, quite frankly. But, we're in, I think, 114 or 117 countries.
Incredible.
The biggest challenge I have with the business is holding back on the reins.
Sure.
With the requests we have for international right now, we've been around for 6 months, is just tremendous. We're trying to grow the country in pockets. And in our first year here, really my goal is to have about 20 franchisees that purchased, 45 to 50 units. And
right.
Probably have 12 to 15 open this first year. And we got to get that foundation underneath us. And, could we have gone out and sold 100? I think we could have.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to hold that back and make good choices. And the quality of the lead, I think, is just the most interesting part. It's either a fan that wants on the show or a fairly well-heeled, sophisticated investor that understands the power of TV.
Right, absolutely.
And what makes LA Sunset different? I've gotten to be familiar with a few of the tanning franchises out there. Some have done well, some have had problems. What really makes LA Sunset, different from some of the others?
Yeah, as you know, in franchising, I think 80% of the equation is putting the right person in there.
Right.
And then getting the location right, I think our biggest difference is obviously movie stars aren't going to be walking into an LA Sunset Tan in Ohio.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is what I would say create a celebrity experience.
Mm-hmm.
Our salons, if you walk into them, is going to feel more like a day spa. You know, we don't have portable walls. We've gone to the higher-end beds that are much better for you. They don't burn like the old beds used to. And then we offer three different options of sunless treatments. A couple machines, one called the Caltan Tower and the other one's Versa Spa, that actually will condition your skin, tan you, and then do a post spray on you and then dry you off. So people that are worried about UV rays but still want to look tan in their nightgown, or if they're going, you know, to the islands for a vacation, you know, they can get that look and be in pretty good shape. But clean and safe is important, a celebrity appearance and you know, really a experience, and just being treated right, feeling good about yourself being in there is what we're trying to accomplish.
Right. Trying to give them the Starbucks experience, I think, is what you mentioned. Is ready.
That's very fair, yeah.
With you, Mark. Yeah, absolutely.
And you can't underplay the show. I mean, I don't go to the show first, but, you know, we have a 22.5-minute commercial on the E-Channel 12 times a week, usually,
sure,
when we're in season.
Absolutely.
And it's just wonderful to drive people through the front door to go to a Sunset Tan and get that experience.
Absolutely. I recall in another interview with Devin, I think he got into this whole thing. Robert Redford always had a tan and a white shirt when he was going to do an interview or something like that. You know, just thought that was very interesting.
Well, Devin tells a great story because he's from the same. We're both Hoosiers. We're from Indiana.
Okay.
And Devin had moved from Valparaiso, Indiana, went to California, couldn't wait to get out there, see the ocean. Well, he had moved to Fresno.
There you go. It wasn't close.
And he couldn't see the ocean from there. And it's kind of a great story to hear him tell it. And I went out there for the California experience. I end up in Fresno. And he started tanning there because he was going back to see people. And I said, well, you've been at the beach? You know.
Right.
Then moved down into the L.A. Valley and got into real estate, met Jeff Boz. And, you know, they opened up on Sunset Tan about 92, 93 on Sunset Strip was their first store. So
that's fantastic. How big is the industry, Mark, for L.A. Sunset Tan?
I mean, the industry itself? Or
yeah, the industry, I guess the tanning industry itself. Are there any numbers?
You know, it's like everything. It's just all over the place.
Right, right.
You know, with that, it's kind of a segment. It's kind of in the health and beauty. It's hard to separate those out. But, you know, there's probably about four or five major franchise players in the industry.
Right.
Unfortunately, with a lot of things, whether you're talking about handyman or maid services, you know, there's a lot of little mom and pops that throw some bad beds in the corner.
Sure.
You know, some gymnasiums that'll put a bed in here or there. But, you know, really getting it organized, you know, there's about three or four franchises that are really moving forward. You've got your Hollywood Tans out there. You've got your Planet Beaches going out there, Palm Beach Tan. And, you know, we're very excited about moving forward with this. We went to the World Tanning Conference in October in Nashville, of all places, at the Opryland.
Oh, interesting.
And it was amazing, all the folks in the tanning industry. That's where we launched the franchise. And there was just literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming up to us thanking us for really bringing tanning to the forefront again.
That's great.
You know, with the show and all that. And you can imagine at that tanning conference, 8,000 people, if you were in tanning, you're probably watching the show.
Right.
So these folks were literally rock stars down there. We filmed for 3 days at the conference, and a lot of that footage you're going to see in episode 1 and 2 this year. So
that's great.
Wow. So, Mark, asking the question, what's the most interesting thing that's happened to you? It's probably a lot of the TV stuff going on or hearing Devin's stories.
You know, I have to admit, I've worked with a lot of great franchises over the years. They've been very successful, profitable for the owners and things, but you know, this one puts a smile on your face every day, if you can imagine. Because what I'm trying to do is take pieces of the show and what they do nationally and use that in the franchise system. I mean, we're really in a couple, three different businesses. We're in, you know, the entertainment business. We are starting a Miss Sunset Tan, kind of like the Hawaiian Tropic Contest nationwide. They will have a product line of clothing, and different types of suntan lotions and things like that. And then we have the franchise company. So there's a lot of moving pieces. It keeps me going every day.
That's fantastic.
You know, Mark, I predict you probably know this already, like maybe not another, say, competitor, but I believe there's going to be some other franchise seeing the success of your franchise on cable, TV, and everything going on that they'll probably end up doing that also.
Sure. Or they'll want to do it, right.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you about the 20 or 30 calls I've received and say, hey, how can you get my franchise on TV?
Right.
There you go.
You know, it's
sure.
It's an interesting place to be in, and obviously this was backwards. They had the business. They had the reality show going already when I showed up.
Right.
And, you know, television, as I'm learning from, you know, really these guys in that business, that you don't just walk in there. I mean, there's thousands of ideas. You can remember the old Seinfeld when they were pitching their show about nothing?
Sure.
Right.
There you go.
Remember George and Jerry? Yeah, there's a lot of people pitching shows about nothing, I'm
that's
sure.
Fantastic.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a good example. So you mentioned how important the franchisee is to the success of the franchise system. So I'm sure there's, you know, certain characteristics you look for a new investor or franchisee, Mark?
We really do. I mean, you know, if we're talking specifically about, you know, LA Sunset Tan, I'm looking for somebody that lives what I would call an active and healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same people that are going to a gym and working out, people that are taking supplements, people that are active, are really our customer.
Right.
You know, our customer's not kind of a shut-in that doesn't want to get out, and so on and so forth. But so we're certainly looking for somebody that understands the lifestyle. You know, our investment, you know, depending on leasing and build-out, runs anywhere from $300 to $650, so we need a fairly financially solid person.
Right.
And our concept really allows you to keep your job and transition into this by looking at our multi-unit model, where you can get managers in place and open up two or three and, you know, spend 10 to 15 hours a week sticking your head in and decide when to transition out of your business. And I'm sure you've had a few shows about the economy, the word recession that's been thrown around, so on and so forth. And
yeah.
I really think a lot of people are going to be looking at kind of shoring their future up with a franchise opportunity this year.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Good times or bad, there's always room for franchise ownership, people getting downsized or, you know, whatever the case. Yeah, we've had shows about that. You're right, Mark.
Yeah, and I just got to believe is, you know, if you have a good job now, you're not walking away from it, but probably a lot of the franchise concepts that allow you to keep your job with, you know, I hate the word absentee ownership, but you know what I mean, less involved ownership.
Right.
And allow you to get this built in case times get tough. But, you know, I'm sure you're not seeing that with the real economic numbers, but, you know, with the election going on, it's doomsday out there. So.
And, Mark, I only consider a few different franchise businesses where you can have that, you know, not as involved in the franchise, you know, say hair cutting, but I think tanning is one also. Do you accept that type of franchisee who, you know, maybe is not going to be there on a full-time basis?
Oh, yeah, we certainly do. I mean, obviously they've got to identify a manager, how they're hooking that person in. But,
right.
You know, you're really looking at 3 to 5 employees to keep the salon open 7 right. days a week. And, you know, in multi-unit ownership, the less moving parts you can have, you'll be more successful.
Right.
So you don't really look for business ownership experience in the past or real, say, sales experience. Those aren't a few things that maybe you look for?
Well, you know, this business is, in the way they've been successful with this in L.A. would be promotionally. They get out there, they get involved with the community, you know, they get promo girls out on the street, they get involved with gyms. So this doesn't make you a storekeeper.
Right.
Which I really like about it. You can get out and get active in the community. So we're looking for someone with a great personality. We also have an area representative program where you can buy several counties and have the rights to open up 30 to 40 units, selling those to franchisees and doing that. And currently, I will not take anybody in that position that hasn't been an area developer or an area rep, so we can provide the correct support.
Right.
Well, with a great personality needed, I guess, Marty, you and I would be great franchisees for this.
There you go.
Well, you guys would be all over this, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like how you guys are very selective, Mark, you know, and I think you mentioned you're not selling franchises. You guys are rewarding franchises, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, you know, we've all said that in all of our careers, we've always wanted to really try to select the right franchisees,
right.
And I've done several interviews of people saying, well, boy, this thing can go too fast, it can fall apart, all of those different type of things. And the TV show and the lead flow that we're getting really allows me an opportunity to make a lot of choices.
It's true.
About people. And, you know, we still take them through a qualification process, different things like that, to make sure that this is working. And we just have more to choose from, and we want to go slow and make sure we make those correct choices as we're doing that.
Right, right. What is the training like, Mark, for new franchisees? I know one time I mentioned, or you mentioned to me, that your discovery days are called like auditions. They're really interesting.
It's called audition day, yes. And, you know, that's kind of fun. The people fly in. We go to kind of a new wave hotel in the L.A. area, so they can kind of get that experience. And then we pick them up in a limo. We do a few store tours, go through more of a discovery day with a PowerPoint at the office, go over to the L.A. Sports Club and have lunch with them. And they spend about 2 hours with the founders and the owners, and then come back, and then we take them back to the hotel. But the training for this is we do 5 days in one of our salons in training area in Beverly Hills. And then once your store is ready to open, we come back to your area for 3 days before your soft opening.
Right.
You know, along with phone support and different things like that. And something we did that we wanted to make sure we protected the brand was we use One Source Retail to do all the build-outs of our stores.
Right.
So we have, they stock 10 packages down in St. Louis. So when they go out and you get your white box ready, that they come in and do the build out, so we have it branded and every salon will look the same.
That's great. Is there an ideal location, Mark, that you envision?
Yeah, I mean, I think the ideal location is you're looking for probably a strip center, 2,000 square foot footprint.
Right.
And I want to see a gym somewhere.
Right, absolutely. That makes sense.
Because, you know, kind of one-stop. People will work out, then they'll tan, you know, and kind of one-stop shopping for them.
Right.
Yeah, so that would be ideal. The closer you can get to the gym,
sure,
I think the better off you are.
Yeah, it makes a lot of
sense. I bet you the grand openings are a lot of fun
with
the type of theme and, you know, what your franchise is all about.
Well, they really are. You know, we actually have the owners escrow $15,000. And then we put in as corporate $10,000 into that, so they have a $25,000 grand opening package. And we have the cast members come out also.
That's fantastic.
So we put our PR people into the market. We get the advertising, radio, TV, billboards, whatever it takes. And we really want to get these franchisees off to the right, what I call that 90-day critical period.
Right.
Well, yeah, hopefully you'll have some New Jersey and Pennsylvania soon. My background, the name Johnson, Swedish, very fair-skinned. I need some color.
You know, the funny thing is you will only get so dark. We get people that keep tanning, and, you know, if you're Irish or Swedish, you're only going to get so dark.
Right.
You know, you only can go so far. Well, we're going to take care of that for you because we should be opening around May 1st to the 15th in the Ramsey area in Bergen County.
Wow, that's excellent.
Incredible, yeah.
Well, I have roots up there where I was born with the college. I'm more down in Central Jersey. I'm sure the...
Well, we'll work our way down there, but again, we're pocketing, and, you know, you talk about the quality of a franchisee. Our franchisee's name is Inez up there,
yeah,
and she worked for a day spa and ran a day spa that has a customer list of 30,000 people and makes sure 400 to 600 people a day had a great experience.
That's fantastic.
And those are the kind of people, you know, as you ask about our operators and who they should be, you know, here's somebody that understands pampering.
Right, absolutely.
Right. You know, so we're real excited about that. New Jersey was a little bit off the beaten path for us, but
her
and her future husband purchased 4 units up there, and they're going to be opening those up in the next 2.5 years. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. And was she a fan of the show too, Mark?
She was.
That's
she
incredible.
Was.
That's
yeah,
amazing.
Again, being in that business, you know, she caught it.
Right.
About half of our franchisees have been a fan of the show. Most of the guys don't admit being a fan, by the way. They're like,
I should
oh, my wife watches this, and I
exactly.
happen to
That's what
look over her shoulder, you know. So you guys are pretty brave out
there. That's what I've been saying.
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, everybody says, oh, no, I don't watch the show. But
my wife watches it, and she turned me on to it.
Right. But very interesting, very provocative in some cases, but
absolutely.
You know, it became the number one show on E after our first 5 episodes. We passed The Girls Next Door.
That's right, yeah.
Over 30 million people in like I say, about 14 different languages.
It's incredible. What would a typical day be like for an L.A. Sunset Tan franchisee, Mark?
Well, you know, if it's an owner-operator, they're obviously, you know, the hours are a little long in the salons, quite frankly. If you're by a gym, you want to match up to their hours. So
right.
If that gym's opening at 6 in the morning, you probably ought to be opening at 7.
That makes sense, yeah.
But, you know, really a typical owner is going to make sure, you know, before they go home at night, they're going to clean the salon up. It'll be ready for opening in the morning. You know, this business surges in the morning, kind of at lunch hour, and then again after work. Again, if you think of a gym, that same kind of cycle. They would be working with their employees. The owner should be out marketing, not standing behind the counter. You know, working with promotions with different gyms and different things like that. You know, they get big into, if you think about weightlifting and bodybuilding and aerobic shows, those people are pretty tan.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can work there by setting up booths. And I think one of the unique things we have would be our portable spray tan, where we will actually go to somebody's home. And, you know, I the easiest way to explain it, and Devin and Jeff would probably shoot me, but you guys are familiar with our old Scheib or Mako.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure. We actually have a hand spray gun that we can go and actually spray people just like you'd be painting a car. And you can really define the body that way, really get a
right.
very even tan. And that's something we actually take to people's home for them and cater to them. A little booth pops up, and you spray them and put it down, and off you go.
Yeah, I've seen that on one of the episodes, Mark, actually, where they went to a celebrity's home, I think, and they were, I think, using that spray thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really becoming very popular. We can do that in the salon itself, or if your request was to come to your home, we can do that also.
Didn't Earl Scheib used to say, I'll paint any car, any color for, I think it was $200. You guys, you know.
Well, I'm a lot older than you then, because I remember when they used to say $29.95, you know,
right.
when I lived in Chicago. So.
So you'll spray paint any body, any color at the tanning.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, the sunless, you know, the tanning in the beds, depending on the package you buy, usually is anywhere from $8 or $10 a tan to $25.
Right.
And then when you get into the sunless, which really, you know, if you spray about once every 10 days to 2 weeks, you'll keep a tan as anywhere from $35 to $85, depending, you know, whether it's a hand or a machine doing it. So.
Wow, so even the spray, that can last that long with, you know, there could be a whole bunch of showers, people bathing between that. I guess that stuff just stays on the skin.
Right, and then there is a pigment in it that, you know, there's two ways to do it. When you first tan, you can have either become tan immediately or, you know, over the next 4 to 5 hours, it actually brings the color out of your skin. So you just have to stay out of the shower for, you know, 4 or 5 hours, and after that you just kind of function normally. You're not going
right.
you know, you're just not going to wash that off.
That's great.
That's great. Mark, we have about 1 minute. What's the best way to get more information on you and the L.A. Sunset Tan franchise opportunity? Any websites that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I think, you know, always the easiest thing is to go to our website, which is www.lasunsettan.com.
It's a great
or
website.
Just sunsettan.com.
That's fantastic.
And we've got all the information on there. You can request information or you can give us a call.
That's great. We'll put a link up on our website as well, Mark, you know, so people can easily get access to those websites. And I want to thank you. You've been a fantastic guest. I think Don and I would like to have you back in another 6 months and just keep following the success of this great opportunity.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on, and hopefully we can talk again.
Yeah, keep up the good acting work, Mark.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, you have to watch. I'll be on again this year. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Right.
And if your wife is watching it, make sure you see it, okay?
There you go.
I will.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah.
I mean, just another great opportunity, you know, and I think these guys are going to be really big. Again, you know, they're going to be, I think they're positioning themselves, you know, like Starbucks did, you know, I mean,
Yeah, but, you know, what a great problem to have. He's getting too many leads, and just the TV show is generating so much interest that they can kind of really be careful in who they're picking and choosing to be a franchisee.
Yeah, this is definitely a unique situation. You know, again, he's been doing this, I think Mark mentioned, like 28 years. I mean, he's never seen anything like this before, you know, and I suspect you know, they're kind of like pioneers. You know, a lot of other franchises are going to want to do the same thing.
They're
probably approaching E saying, you know what, let's do a show on this, or let's do a show on that.
Well, you see what happens on TV, there's a successful reality show, then there's a bunch more. Now, recently we got the game shows going on TV, but, yeah, I always love hearing people's stories on how they got into franchising and him getting into that decorating den, home furnishings, and you know, just one thing leads to another.
Absolutely. He has a lot of great experience, you know, so good for him. You know, he's a really good guy. I've had the opportunity to speak to him on several occasions over the years. You know, I don't know if he remembers me. But
You saw the article about them at Franchise Times a couple of months ago.
That was
a great
article,
to have them on, and then I got to meet them at the franchise show. And
I forgot to mention that article because it was a great article. Nancy wrote that, you know, and I remember in fact, I'm looking at it right now. She started off, "Do you enjoy tanning?" That's the first sentence, you know, and that's the first question LA Sunset Tan Productions asks prospective franchisees in its sales brochure survey. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I like the whole location fact. That makes a lot of sense, too, you know, being next to a gym. You know, it seems like they're kind of going after the same market, you know. So just very interesting. You know, it kind of reminded me of, too, you remember the franchise we had on? It was about 2 months ago. It's Elements for Women.
Right.
You know, kind of like they were, like, doing this upscale kind of thing. You know, I thought that would be a good match.
Right, we had Chris on the show. Right?
Yeah, Chris, I think it was Chris Palumbo, you know.
Right.
Located right next to them, or an Elements being located next to an LA Sunset Tan. You know, it just makes a lot of sense. So I think these guys are going to be really big, you know, and I'm looking forward to, as Mark said, watching over my wife's shoulder as she's watching the show.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching the show, and I am going to admit that I am a happy viewer. Yeah,
I tell you, it's a very interesting show, even from an entrepreneurial perspective. You know, I mean, that's how I, you know, took the show. You know, and you know, the girls on the show are beautiful. I mean, they're just you know, you can definitely get sucked into the show. You know, it's so great. So I'm looking forward to meeting them. I forgot to ask Mark if he was going to be in Washington at the.
Yeah, they're on the list. I'm pretty sure, but yeah, we're not sure about him, but I know the company's going
to
be.
Right, right. But you know, we'll have to go over and you know, shake their hands, you know, and introduce ourselves. But great concept. I expect, you know, great things from them. So another great show.
Yeah, good job, Marty.
Thanks, Don. We'll have another great show next week, and we're actually going to post some of the upcoming shows over the next month that we have going on as well.
Right. You remember, go to franchiseinterviews.com, see all prior interviews and shows we've done. Also, gofranchise.com and check out our show page on Blog Talk Radio as well. So
absolutely. Well, great job, Don, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.